by Kathy Aubrey. She's a professor of media and communications at Swinburne University of Technology to talk about the research. Good morning, Kathy.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Thanks.
So while these dating apps are designed for people to meet up for their relationships, your research finds that these applications were used for other purposes. So what are some of the other lesser spoken about uses for dating apps?
Look, people use apps for all kinds of what you might term off-brand or off-label purposes. We didn't go into this in detail but in our study, but we did have people who were using Tinder to promote a band, or people use apps to find flatmates, for example. In our study, there were quite a few people who were using apps as a friend finder, particularly in regional areas. One of our interviewees was a trans person who wasn't super high profile in town, but it was a good way to meet other trans people without, you know, being too out or public in a space where he didn't always feel safe. And people definitely use it to use apps to socialize or just to chat or to have the equivalent of, you know, what previously would have been called pen pals, you know, people to chat and maybe even swap nudes with that they're never necessarily going to meet, but it's a kind of, you know, online friendship.
Yeah, it seems that as technology changes, that the same forms of communication are definitely just playing out, but they're just transforming in light of whatever new form of technology is coming about. I know that when I go traveling, sometimes if I'm traveling alone overseas and I want to meet some locals, like there is a great socialization aspect there to meet new people, as you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. You can see people in a specific geographical space, then you can make friends before you arrive, in a sense, or at least make connections so that when you go to a public event, you're not having to bowl up to people cold. And that was another thing that people were talking about. In a city, in an urban area, some of the queer people were saying, look, you know, I'm a bit socially anxious, I'm a bit shy. This was a couple of people in the interviews. And to have matched with someone before I see them at an event gives me a lot more confidence to go into a crowded room or a bar or a party, whatever, and strike up that conversation because I already know there's a connection or a potential spark with that person.
It sounds like it's more of a trust-building exercise than anything that you sort of say, like, we're on the same page right now. Maybe if you don't know if you go into a date or even a social situation where you go in completely cold, sometimes if you rock up at a party and you don't know anyone there, you're striking up a conversation with someone who could have completely different ethics or values. So it seems like it's kind of a just a way to sort of put people at ease, maybe.
Yeah, and people also used the connection to other social platforms from the app as a way of doing that. So people would go from, say, Bumble to Instagram or Grindr to Instagram to see, do we have friends in common? As you say, do we have shared values? Is this person someone that I can imagine spending time with? And in terms of verifying identity, is this person potentially a catfish, or are there other photos of them in other contexts with other people that seem to match their their dating app photo, and are they who they say they are? So people were using a kind of ecosystem approach to the apps and other platforms like Facebook or Insta or Snapchat to get to know the person a little more before they met them in a kind of face-to-face context.
So it's more of like an integrated approach or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's strange. Every time that, dating apps do come up in the news and the like, there are criticisms of it that, people are using it to relieve boredom or like boost their ego that, you know, sometimes they might not even meet up with the person eventually, or they'll just talk to them, which I think it's a perception that it's like a completely negative thing. But you're saying, like, we're talking about this pen pal and building up social connections, that's not the case then.
Yeah, well, it's similar to other social, other forms of social networking. So, yeah, there can be a perception that that's time wasting, but the people who were responding to our study said, you know, sometimes they felt that way themselves, but in other cases there were people for whom that connection was very important, and it was a way of, for some people, kind of getting over anxiety that they might have in other social spaces. There were certainly people who had negative experiences of apps too. There were people who felt quite frustrated, or that they couldn't match, or they couldn't move from chat on the site to meeting face to face, and they certainly kind of shared a range of strategies that they used to deal with that sense of frustration, or that things weren't going the way they had hoped they would go.
And you're saying it's not all a positive story for everyone involved. There are some red flags that do often get brought up, but one thing is also just that regular question of consent. And in your article, it was saying that you talk about this idea of negotiating consent. Could you explain what that looks like in relation to this study?
Yeah, so it was really different for different people. And the different apps, this is because the study was aiming to give some advice to people in sexuality and health education and health service provision, we focused a bit on what people wanted from apps in terms of sexual health and mental health support. And one of the things that came across very strongly was that while lots of sexuality educators can frame sexual health as something that solely relates to sexually transmissible infections and using condoms and testing, for people in our study, consent was a really crucial aspect of sexual health, and they felt it was quite important to have skills for negotiating consent. And women of all sexualities were concerned that their partners didn't have great knowledge about using barriers or getting tested for STIs, and that a big part of their negotiation of consent was also a kind of negotiation of sexual health, whether it was women having sex with other women who wanted to talk about using gloves or using condoms on toys, or it was women having sex with men who wanted to talk about the man using condoms. They had a lot of frustration around that, and some people felt like the app was the place to have that chat. Other people really didn't, and they would prefer to have that conversation face to face. So there was quite a lot of dissent and discussion around that in different groups.
It's always interesting to see people's different communication style, in that, you know, if you're speaking to someone online that you've never really met before, there is an anonymizing aspect which can, you know, build more vulnerability or trust in some cases because you've never met them before. But as you say, you know, some people would just rather have, you know, good old-fashioned face-to-face chat.
Yeah, and it was interesting for us, and other studies have found this, that the people who didn't want to have a consent or negotiation conversation online were more concerned that if they had that discussion on Messenger or some other platform, and then they met the person in person, it would be as if they had somehow created a contract to do specific things sexually, and they're like, I might not even have chemistry with this person at all when I meet them, and I've now shared all these things I want to do and said what kinds of sex I like, and how do I back out of that gracefully? So some people were concerned that it was too much pressure to negotiate in advance of a meeting, whereas other people had strategies where they said, well, I try not to do that as sexy talk, as if I'm saying we're definitely doing this, but I do state my boundaries or say we will need to talk about safer sex. I do want to use a condom and those kinds of things, and have that chat in a less sexual or less flirtatious way before they had the meeting. So some people preferred that, some people didn't.
It's always a tricky space to try and navigate, isn't it? Thank you so much for your time this morning, Kathy.
Yeah, no worries.